already known. No, it's taking the risk of opening up my life in an area that they wouldn't otherwise know about. Now that's a kind of a scary trip, as we'll see as we go along this morning, because so much can happen. And that's where the vulnerable part comes in. When I disclose myself in that way, I am making myself vulnerable to that person. They can take that information and use it against me. They can take that information and hurt me with it. So when we talk about disclosure, we're talking about opening our lives in areas that would otherwise not necessarily be known by that individual. So, the first thing we're going to see then, as we begin our little journey this morning, is that the biblical emphasis that we're talking about regarding my need to do this includes this passage in Hebrews 3:12 and 13. It also includes Romans 15:14. Romans 15:14. I think I have most of those up here, and I'll just let you see them as we go along here. Romans 15:14 and Colossians 3:16. Now, Colossians 3:16 is a passage that you know quite well. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And Romans 15:14 says, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to instruct one another." Now that phrase, "able to instruct one another," in, I believe it's the New English Bible, says competent to counsel one another. And that's the phrase from which J. Adams took the title of his book, Competent to Counsel. But what the scripture is saying is that God has equipped us, all of us as members of the body, to have this kind of interaction and dialogue with each other, to counsel, to exhort, to instruct. These words are all synonymous. This is the ministry that should go on among us continually. Now, unfortunately, it does not. And it is for that reason that we want to consider this subject this morning. What is it that keeps us from being willing to open our lives so that someone else can express by exhortation, by encouragement, by instruction, in whatever way necessary? You see, in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, which is another passage that I'd like for you to just note, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it gives us several areas of common need. Areas of common need in all of us as followers of Christ. Here's what it says. "And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all." So we're to admonish the idle, a person who is being careless, a person who is allowing themselves to begin to fall away, as it says in Hebrews 3. We're to admonish them. Lovingly but gently and firmly admonish them. Or it says, if a person is struggling and they're faint-hearted, encourage them. Encourage them. And of course, if a person is discouraged, weak, we're to help them. Now, there's a key here. You see, the only way that that can happen is if I am willing to express to you and tell you that I am struggling in one of those areas. I have to invite you in. If I don't, likely I'll reject anything you have to say. There has to be a willingness on my part to open my life and to invite you in. If I'm being careless, I may have to be reminded of that. But if you say to me as an honest brother or sister in Christ, George, would you allow me to share something with you that I think I've noticed? At that point, I have to make a choice. Am I going to invite you in, or am I going to hold you off? I've been held off many times. I've been stiff-armed a lot. And when people do that, you can go no further. That's as far as you can go. There has to be an invitation. And that's where the disclosure comes in. That's where the willingness to open up my life comes in. And unless I'm willing to do that, you see, all of the exhortation or the encouragement or the help that others want to give me will never reach my life because I'm closed up. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to suggest something to you. I'd like for us to consider very briefly God's example in this whole matter of disclosure and vulnerability. And we're going to do this quickly. God has revealed Himself to you and to me in this book in a most complete and dramatic way. He tells us in this book not only who He is, not only what He's like, not only how He responds to situations, what it is that he approves of, what He cannot approve of, what He hates, what He loves. All is in the book here. He has disclosed Himself. Not only that, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, He disclosed Himself completely. God on earth in the form of a man. So we can take the time, if we will, to read these passages and know what God thinks and how He responds to various situations. Total disclosure. And do you know what else? In doing that, God has made Himself vulnerable. Can you imagine that? God, the Creator of the universe, the King of glory, has made Himself vulnerable to you and to me and to men in this world. And there are men who despise God today. There are men who speak out against God. There are men who express themselves in ways that are absolutely unfair as far as God is concerned. When Jesus walked on this earth, He made Himself vulnerable to the remarks of men, and finally to the crucifixion that they subjected Him to for your sake and for mine. He opened His life up and continues to do that, and He makes Himself vulnerable. But please note this. Disclosure always demands response. Disclosure always demands response. If I go up to someone with whom I have a relationship or that I esteem, and I open my life in some way and I say, friend, here's where I am and here's what I'm struggling with and here are a couple of things that I'd really appreciate your prayer on and your support. And I open my life. Now that person can respond in one of two ways, because disclosure demands response. And that person can respond by withdrawing and putting up their defenses. They can do that. I have, on more than one occasion, I've gone to someone and I said, friend, listen, I may be wrong. Maybe I'm getting the wrong vibrations here, but I feel like there's something in our relationship that isn't quite right. And I want to know if I've done something to offend you. Our relationship is very important to me. Only to have them turn around and say, oh, George, you're just too sensitive. Forget it. See what they've done? They've put up a barrier. They've cut it off completely. That's one response that you can have to disclosure. Because you feel threatened. Because you don't want to respond in any similar way. But the other response can be to open up your life in return. See, we can respond in a defensive, threatening way, a threatened way, or we can open up our life in return. We could say, man, I really appreciate your sharing that with me. I really appreciate your letting me know where you are and what's happening. Now let's, not only do I want to pray with you about it, but let me tell you something that's going on in my life. We'll pray together. Oh, and look, when that happens, I mean something new takes place in that relationship. You move to a new level of communication and understanding when there's a willingness to respond in that way. You know what I'm talking about. You also know what I'm talking about when you've tried to express yourself, disclose your life, and have somebody just pull a shade down right in front of your face. And on that shade is printed, "Out to lunch." I don't want to get involved. God has disclosed Himself. And in disclosing Himself, He demands a response from you and from me. And the question is, am I willing to open my life to Him? Am I willing just to say, "Lord, here it is. Here's where I am. Here's what I'm struggling with. And I may be wrong. But nevertheless, that's where things are right now." So God has opened His life up to you and to me. And He asks us to do the same with Him in return. Let me put something on the overhead projector here a moment. Some of you are probably familiar with this. And it will be by way of reminder, but it's a good place for us to reconsider it. Out of his book, a book by John Powell, some of you are familiar with Powell's book, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? I've taken these levels of communication, and I want to just share them with you very quickly. The five levels of communication. The first one is called the cliche level. And you all know what that is. "Hi."
"Hi."
"How you doing?"
"Fine."
"How was the conference?"
"Great."
You know, and we just go on at that level. We never get anywhere. I mean, it's perfectly acceptable. That's not a wrong level. But it's a very limited level. That's the cliche level. Second, reporting facts about others. Ah, this one we enjoy. Because it sounds so real. We talk about a third person. We talk about old Joe. And we talk about Joe's needs and Joe's problems and Joe's struggles in his marriage and in his home. And we come up with terrific ideas about what Joe should do. I mean, we really dialogue on Joe's problem. And we leave thinking, boy, we really communicated. False. All we did was dissect Joe. But we didn't reveal a thing about ourselves. And that's so easy to do. We do not open our lives up, but we talk about somebody else. The third level, that's where I get to my ideas and judgments. That is to say, what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking. Now, that's important to me. And as I express what I'm thinking, I watch you. And I watch your facial response, your nonverbal response. And if I get a positive response, and if I see that you're really listening to me, then I'll move into the fourth level. And I'll tell you how I feel. Not only what I think, not only the intellectual level, but what I feel. What I'm struggling with in my emotions. Now I'd like to suggest that as far as I can understand the scripture at this point, I believe that we as believers should be able to get to that level among ourselves. Where we can express feelings to each other without feeling that we're going to be judged. That's one of the reasons. And I'm going to tell you some things in just a moment that keep us from disclosing our lives. Without feeling that we're going to be judged by the other person. Without feeling that we're going to get a little sermon back. We do that continually. But this level is one that we need to reach if our dialogue and our communication is going to be effective. The reality of honest disclosure. And then the final level is simply called peak communication or total communication. Now that level, the fifth level, is one that we don't reach with too many people. And we certainly cannot handle that level with too many people at any given time. Now one thing about these levels of communication is that once you've reached this one down here, either four or five, you can use any of these, but you're not limited to them. So I can have a cliche conversation with my wife occasionally. And that doesn't mean that we're not communicating. It simply means that on that particular occasion, we don't need to go any deeper than that. But we know that the other avenues are open to us if we want to go deeper in our communication. And if Florine needs to express herself, we stop and listen. And if I need to express myself, she'll stop and listen. And we can go to whatever level we want. They're available to us, but we don't have to go there all the time. Not every conversation has to go to that level. The tragedy is when you do not experience that level of communication at all. And you're limited to the first or second or third levels. And how many husbands and wives have told me that they're reluctant to express how they feel to their mate? A wife says, well, if I really tell him how I feel, he won't understand. He'll just get upset with me. That's what always happens. And it's true. Women have a greater capacity for emotional response than men. Part of that is natural and part of it is cultural. And we'll see that more clearly in just a moment. But too often, when women open their lives up and their hearts up to their husbands are incapable for some reason of accepting that as just a level of feeling. And they conclude that that must be how their wife is determining the future. That somehow she has arrived at a philosophical conclusion. And what she is expressing is her thinking process. These are the things that I think are important and that I'm going to do the rest of my life. And all she's saying is, hey, look, I'm struggling with something. This may be the wrong time of the month. It could be any kind of thing. I'm just having some feelings and I'd like to talk about them. But the husband concludes something entirely erroneously because of a logical sequence that he thinks he goes through. All right. So, these levels of communication are open to us, and as we utilize them and they go deeper, we're able to see what God has done in disclosing Himself to us. In opening up all the levels of communication to us in His Son, by coming and identifying Himself with us so that He might understand. And so it says we can go boldly into His presence because we know He understands. And there's the key, friends, to this kind of experience, understanding. To know that the person I'm disclosing my life to will understand. There has to be the confidence of mutual love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 gives us the qualities of that. Let me share something with you here. This is from Bruce Larson's book. I believe it's the book that I mentioned yesterday, and the title of it slips my mind right now. No Longer Strangers. I don't remember for certain. But here's the statement. To love is to trust. And to trust is to reveal those things about yourself that could give someone else the weapons with which to hurt you. Until we can be this vulnerable, we cannot truly love. You see, what he's saying is until I trust you that much, until I believe that you have that kind of understanding, I can't really say that we are experiencing the reality of love. Because love suffers all things. It can bear all things. It can stand the weight of honesty. And until I'm willing to move into that area and express that and experience that with you, then real trust does not exist. And I do not believe that you understand. We can put those back up later if you desire to copy them. Now, the more we guard our lives, the more we hold ourselves in, the more lonely we become. And there are lots and lots of people who reach their middle age and they're still married and they still live in the same house and all the rest of it, and they're lonely. They are lonely. Because they've never learned to open their lives up to one another. They are strangers to one another. The children grow up. The children leave. The children were the last link between the husband and wife in any kind of dialogue. And now they're gone. And they no longer have anything to dialogue about. He has his business. He has his interests. And she has virtually nothing in which to be involved. And certainly nothing in which they're involved together. And you talk about the reality of loneliness. And the more we withdraw from one another, the more we cover up and hold back, the more potential there is to develop into a lonely person in the middle of a crowd. And you can be lonely because you're not willing to open your life up. Now, what are some of the reasons for withdrawing, for not being willing to do this? What are some of the reasons? Well, I think, first of all, there is fear. Fear is one of the reasons. If I tell you who I am, you may not like who I am, and it's all that I have. You remember that statement? That's a statement from that little book that I quoted a while ago, John Powell's book, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? If I tell you who I am, you may not like who I am, and it's all that I have. If I open up my life to you, if I reveal to you something about myself, and I get rejected, and I feel judged, then where do I go? I feel like the little boy who accidentally walks in with muddy feet on his mother's clean kitchen floor. And she storms in and says, "What are you doing?" And there he stands with muddy feet in the middle of the kitchen floor. There's no direction for him to go. There's nothing he can do. And that happens lots of times when you open your life up to someone and they judge you, or they come back with some little sermon. They give you a pat answer. Well, what you need is, and they quote a verse. Sounds very spiritual. The only problem is they didn't really listen. And remember what we said, that statement we had up here by Paul Tournier? That every individual has the need to be really listened to be taken seriously, and to be understood. To be listened to be taken seriously, and to be understood. And if I expose my life and I'm rejected, where do I go from there? And in the body of Christ, this is part of the interpersonal interdependence that God intends there should be. Remember that verse we read? That we're to encourage. We're to encourage. And there is nothing that encourages as much as knowing someone cares enough to listen when I open my life up to them. A wife to know that her husband will take time to listen. Not sit there and sort of half-heartedly grunt every once in a while to let her know that he's still in the room. And she's pouring out her heart. Or vice versa. Incidentally, I said a while ago that part of the reason for the lack of disclosure on the part of men is a cultural thing. I'd like to speak to that. As I've traveled around the world, and I think Vedano would verify this in the areas he's been, but as I've traveled around the world, it is in the Anglo-Saxon world where this phenomenon has taken place. Where men are afraid to express their feelings. We have developed this artificial concept of manliness. The strong, silent type. I can handle anything. What I call the John Wayne syndrome. I gotta be tough. And no matter what happens, I don't lose my cool. You know? Yep. And that's a tragedy. That's one of the reasons why in our society we have more men with hypertension and with ulcers and all kinds of cardiac problems, because of tension that is unresolved and an unwillingness to open their lives up and talk. I don't find this true in other cultures. I don't find it true in East Asia. I don't find it true in Latin America. I don't find it true in the Middle East. There's a willingness to open up and talk and be themselves and express how they feel. In fact, they're emotional people. And even over incidental things, they get emotional. I mean, they go at it, but they get it out. I've watched in Latin America when two drivers have touched fenders. I mean, they haven't had a bad accident. You know, they just touched fenders. And they get out and they yell at you. You think they're going to kill each other. They yell at each other and they go, and every traffic stops all around them. And they stand out there and they go at it. And then after a while, they get in their cars and drive away. It's all over with. But they get it out. See, not in America. We drive along and somebody does something. I'll get you at the next signal, you know, or whatever. But the point I'm making is we men have allowed ourselves to be sold a bill of goods. Your wives not only want, but need to know how you feel. What you're struggling with. Wives, is that true or not?
Yes.
I don't hear that. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I want that on the tape. Sure, it's true. You bet it's true. You see, dialogue requires that I know what's going on in the person I'm dialoguing with, if it's going to be meaningful, if it's going to go to that level of communication that we're talking about. Now, friends, this area of disclosure is one that is absolutely imperative to our growth, biblically, scripturally. We've already stated at the beginning of the session that unless I am willing to invite you into my life and say, look, friend, we're in this together. We're members of the body. We're both trying to grow. We're both trying to become what God wants us to be. And I want you to know that at any time that you see something in my life that you feel you need to bring to my attention, you've got an open door. And I want to have the freedom to know that I can come to you and open my life up and tell you what's happening. And know that you won't be shocked. And know that you won't withdraw. And know that you won't judge me. And that we'll be able to talk together and pray together for our mutual encouragement. And if you don't have some people that you can do that with, I recommend that you ask God to help you find some. It doesn't have to be a lot. In fact, it shouldn't be too many. But some people that you can do that with. Do it with your husband and with your wife, of course, first of all. And if you've never done it before, today, go out there under a tree somewhere and admit that you have been unwilling to allow that to happen in your experience. That you've withheld, that you've been afraid. Admit that you've been afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid if you're willing to admit you're afraid. The tragedy of being afraid is when you don't admit it and try to act like it's all okay. When inside you're being torn up. But open your life to your husband or to your wife. Now, one thing about disclosure, and I want you to take this down. The key word in disclosure is discretion. Discretion. You see, I do not agree with the current thinking of, you know, you got to let it all hang out. I don't believe that that's biblical. There are some things that don't have to be out. There are some things I take care of in my own heart before God that are not particularly helpful. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, let us grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." And there are some principles and guidelines there. Let me give them to you quickly from Ephesians 4:15. It's to be in love. When I speak the truth, it's to be in love. It should be with the qualities of love. Second, it says, let us grow up in every way. It's to be edifying, not destructive. I may have to share a struggle I'm going through, but it's done in a way that is not destructive. It's helpful and edifying. And finally, let us grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. It should draw us both closer to Jesus Christ as I share that with you. So one of the things that keeps us from disclosing is fear. Another is that we're afraid to destroy our image of spirituality. I was sharing with somebody one day a struggle I was having, and they said, "Oh, George, I don't believe that. You don't have that kind of problems." I said, "Wait a minute. I'm telling you, I'm having that kind of a problem." For some reason, because I've been walking with the Lord for several years and I've been involved in serving Him, this person thought, you know, "You're beyond that. You're never beyond that. I hope I never get beyond needing people." Because that's part of what the body is all about. And so I'm willing to open my life up. But you've got to be willing to accept that and not be shocked that Bob DeHaan or Bob Vedano or George Sanchez or Lorne Sanney or anybody else are having some of these struggles. Instead, to encourage and to support at that moment. To accept. Now, by the way, just quickly, what's the difference between acceptance and approval? You see, many times somebody shares something with me regarding which I cannot approve. I cannot approve. All right? But I dare not reject the person. Acceptance has to do with the person. Approval has to do with the act. And we can accept the person, we can continue to love the person, even though we may not approve of what it is that they are doing or have struggled with. This was classic in the way Jesus dealt with people. He demonstrated acceptance, even though there may not have been approval for their action. Want a case in point? John 8, just read the story of the woman taken in adultery and how Jesus dealt with her. What a beautiful scene, and we don't have time to look at it this morning. But to see what God demonstrates in His Son in the area of acceptance, even when there is not approval for the action. And so, I would like to recommend to you this morning that you seek before God to find that level of communication with your partner in marriage, where there can be the openness to disclose and to make yourself vulnerable and take the risk of letting people know where you are and what you're struggling with. And then as a couple, find another couple or two that you can do that with. Florian and I thank the Lord for some people that we can do that with. We can sit down and interact very honestly and very openly regarding some of the things that we as a couple struggle with at times. Many times we'll get together and we'll say, "Well, you know, it happened again this past week. I got upset and here's what took place and here's what we learned out of it." And we share that with each other and they share with us. And there's an openness and a willingness to disclose. And it's a vulnerability because those people could take that information and hurt a person if they wanted to. But that's part of the risk of love in disclosure. And in the body of Christ, as we put into practice the guidelines of Scripture, it can be a very healing experience. James 5:16. James 5:16. And we'll close with this passage. It says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That you may be healed. Real healing can take place in your heart when you're willing to open your life up to somebody else and receive their support and their encouragement. Not only that, healing can take place in your relationship when you're willing to be honest. Confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we believe that you've established the body of Christ for many reasons. The utilization of gifts, the effective functioning in the world that needs to know about you. But certainly one of the reasons is that we as your children may have others with whom we can relate and who will bring to our lives the encouragement of exhortation and the encouragement of support, the encouragement of caring. And I pray, Father, that I will be willing to allow you to direct me to wisely disclose my life when the need arises, with discretion, but with honesty and openness, that other members of the body might minister to me, that I may be healed, that I may grow, that I may be strengthened. And I pray that for each of these that are in this session this morning. Lord, help us to be willing to open our lives up that you might bring healing in areas that currently are in need of healing. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.